Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, thanks for joining us as we dive deep into the drama of the beautiful game. And just like the football, we'll have solid performances, contentious decisions, and possibly some massive howlers. So without further ado, the football's on. Yes, I'm Ian Stone, and over the next hour, we'll be talking about how it all went wrong at Brighton for their former manager, Liverpool slipping further down the table, and long-serving managers. Also, following Antony's little revolutionary moment in the Europa League, we'll be shining a spotlight on showboating. And after he head-butted Ben Mee and got sent off, it's a proper welcome back to the Premier League to Diego Costa. Our guests are two Mark S's. We'll call them Mark 1 and Mark 2, although that does sound like we've invited a couple of Ford Cortinas onto the show. But it is, in fact, Mark Simmons and Mark Steele. Hello, chaps.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Mark Steele, I'm going to have to do this the whole time. Mark Steele, right. What have you noticed this week?
Well, this isn't an original observation, but at the Palace game on Saturday, Palace scored. They scored a goal that was then disallowed, and then they scored again. And I sort of, this was what I did when the ball went in the goal. I sort of went, and that's because of VAR. Yeah. And and now, given that the whole purpose of football is utterly irrational, I know, you know, maybe on a football show, maybe this isn't the thing to say, but it is utterly irrational that you are just totally invested in this group of players who are connected to your area solely in that the people who run the club have paid them to come round there. They're, you know, long since are the days that more than one or two of them are going to be anything to do with the area. It is irrational. Therefore, you are buying a load of irrational, pointless emotion. That's what it's about. And it's magnificent for that. And if you take that away, it's like, I don't know, it's a bit like sort of saying, oh, we've changed travel so that you actually stay at home. It's just pointless. And and now instead of irrational, now you sort of go, oh, is it? And then everybody stands there waiting. And then when the kickoff happens, you think, oh, right. So they have, that is one goal then. And that's as emotional as it is now, is, they've counted that then.
Although I have to say, watching videos of various fans, and mainly Tottenham fans, but various fans celebrating last-minute winners that are then chalked off minutes later, I do get a tremendous amount of pleasure from that. The other thing I would say is that I don't understand why people film themselves watching football. I mean, I don't want people to see that side of me, if I'm totally honest, because as you said, it doesn't look great, does it? Why is Daddy swearing again? Yeah, I got two words for you. What about you, Mark Simmons? What have you noticed this week?
Well, I've noticed that Jamie Vardy's diet seems to solely consist of drinking Red Bull. I actually think Red Bull's better suited for cricket, because if you drink it, you get the runs.
Right. Yeah, he's not... It is in this era, Mark Steele, of modern footballers and their, you know, nutrition. He's a bit more of a throwback, isn't he, really?
Or maybe there's a nutritionist who's come over, some specialist from France, who's gone, no, pasta is gone. Now it is Red Bull.
I hope that is the case. So, there were 8 Premier League games on Saturday, something that hasn't happened, I believe, since 1947. Late on Saturday afternoon, Chelsea travelled down to the south coast to take on Brighton, and it was hotter for Potter by the water. Thank you. As the Seagulls trounced the Blues at a seething with resentment Amex Stadium. Mark Simmons, I never saw Brighton as being big on grudges, but they really had their hump with Potter, didn't they?
I mean, I totally understand it. I mean, it's like the equivalent of turning up at a party and then your ex-girlfriend's there with a much richer, better-looking boyfriend. And you, like, you're so angry, you try your hardest to beat them at beer pong and you manage it. And you're so happy, but then they still go home together and have a much more successful life together.
Yes, that's true. In a much nicer car, probably. But let's not stretch the analogy too far. Although, I do wonder whether the Brighton fans are being a bit unfair. I mean, Potter left to go to Chelsea because they doubled his wages and gave him the chance to work with better players. I mean, if you're a bus driver and another bus company comes to you and says, here's double your wages and a much nicer bus, one of those luxury ones with the TVs and the tables for four and waitress service and the loo, you'll get to travel, wouldn't you, all over Europe
yes,
in that bus?
Yes, for 3 months.
Well, yeah,
for
that
3 months.
Fair point, Mark, still,
until
yeah.
you're sacked. And and then you end up trying to hoping that Blackburn sack their manager so you can take over from them. And then people, and then there's a quiz of like who can remember all the 643 Chelsea managers, and nobody can even remember the period between October and December 2022 when it was you.
Well, I mean, whatever. It can't have been a fun evening in the Potter household. The same, I imagine, goes for Jurgen Klopp's house after Liverpool lost at home to Leeds. People are asking whether this is the end of the Klopp era. Mark Simmons, are they even more tired than they were last week when we talked about them being tired?
Well, Ian Stone.
Don't do that for the whole show. It'll be weird. Go on.
Well, Klopp's always banging on about how the football calendar's way too busy. And I think he's got a point. I mean, can you imagine working twice a week for up to 2 hours a time?
Yes, of course I can. I'm a comedian.
Yeah, that's a good point. But they've got no excuse for being tired. I mean, like they all had an extra hour of sleep since the Klopps went back.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be better this weekend, won't they? Graham Souness said that Liverpool were being bullied, and it is true that Thiago did have his lunch money stolen the other day by a couple of big centre-halves. But Mark, still, isn't that point so Graham Souness?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, what I love about the pundits now, that it's a bit like a Big Brother show, in that it's very, very beautifully orchestrated. So there's like all the different characters that they have to have, one of each, and so you have to get someone who's the laughy chuckly one and someone who's the really incisive one, and then you have to have the hard one like Souness, who just goes, you should have stumped on his head, and that's how it works.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of the pundit system now. So of course he's going to say Liverpool would be, but yeah, I suppose it's true. They're just not, from what I saw of it, they played, you know, they were a bit unlucky, weren't they? I heard a bloke on the phone-in, you know, these sort of wonderful phone-ins where fans ring in and they are very, very measured. And there was a Liverpool fan going, that's it, we're being relegated. We're going to get relegated.
God.
Yeah, 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 we're going to get relegated. I'm telling you, I can't see us winning another game. We're going to get relegated.
Love
it was
that
very
stuff.
Entertaining.
Love that yeah. stuff. Liverpool v Leeds was definitely a 70s throwback. It certainly sounds like that. I really wanted them to drive a tractor over the pitch before the game to make it more authentic. Mark Simmons, can you imagine a time when a warm-up consisted of a cigarette and watching the 255 from Kempton Park?
what I don't know what is that? Is that a bus?
It's a race course.
Oh, right, okay, you bet. Yeah, I mean, the players back then weren't the Red Bull drinking role models they are today.
No. That is true. Jurgen Klopp found the defeat to Leeds hard to take. He said the late Leeds goal woke him up at night. As he gets older, of course, those goals will wake him up more and more often, I imagine. Mark Steele, I think for fans of our age, we all remember Billy Bremner and Kevin Keegan fighting on the pitch at Wembley at the Charity Shield in 1974. Do you think that moment was the start of the decline of the country?
Yeah, exactly. That's what all the pundits have missed. You look at it all. Inflation, all of it. It all goes back to Bremner and Keegan. Well, I hope Kevin Keegan's pleased with himself.
Yeah, I'd love it if inflation went up. Love it. Tottenham won away at Bournemouth from 2-0 down after 50 minutes. Mark Simmons, it seems to be Antonio Conte's game plan to only start playing when they're behind. I mean, if they go in the dressing room at half time and they're 1-0 up, do you think he starts throwing teacups around?
I mean, as an Arsenal fan, you must find it so annoying to see these comebacks.
I don't pay any attention to them at all.
It's even more frustrating as a West Ham fan because we have the exact same game plan, but we forget to do the comeback bit.
Oh, no, I knew there was something else we had to do. Mark Steele, after Spurs lost two games in a row, I heard people on radio phoning saying that Conte has to go. And whoever was on the phoning said, they're third. I mean, have these fans only been watching Spurs since the start of this season?
Well, that's that is the marvellous thing with those phone-ins. When Liverpool won 18 games in a row or whatever it was 2 or 3 years ago, I wish I'd had the bottle to do this, but I really, then they drew one, and I really wanted to phone in and go, "He's got a goal. That's it. He's lost it." And how can we draw? And just to hear him go, "But you've won 18 games." "Yeah, I know, but that's in the past. We've lost it now, mate. It's over. He's got a goal. They want to get Allardyce in, something like that." And because there will have been fans, there are fans doing that. Yeah, losing two games, actually, that's quite patient. One, and that does it, doesn't it? Or even go 1-0 down. You see, on the Palace, there's a Palace website that I look at. There's some great people on there and everything. But there's a little routine that happens. It goes like at 2:59, there's all people going, "Come on." I'm sure they're all the same. All the fans' forums are the same. 2:59, 3 o'clock, come on, get behind the team, come on. Yeah, we're going to win this one. 3:02, we're useless. That's it. We're finished. We've got no midfield. They're rubbish. If we don't get 7 new players in January, we'll be relegated to the Scottish Second Division. It's just the way some of them are.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a bloke who sits near us 10 seconds into the game. Every time he stands up and goes, "Come on, Arsenal, you've done nothing." Which does give us quite a lot of pleasure, I'll be honest with you. Newcastle United are doing pretty well. They have, without much fuss, glid into the Champions League spot. Eddie Howe quietly going about his business like the whispering Bob Harris of the Premier League, with only his football nails and the wealth of the Saudi investment fund to lean back on. Whatever your views of the owners, as the banner said at St James at the weekend, this city is believing again. Mark Steele, you're a left-wing firebrand with a strong moral and political compass. If Saudi Arabia had bought Palace and you were magically catapulted into the Champions League, would you abandon your long-held principles for a trip to the Bernabeu?
I think that they're much, much misunderstood, the Saudi regime.
What's happened to Mark? Mark Simmons, I've never heard you express a political viewpoint in your life, but if North Korea bought West Ham, would you happily shell out for a shirt with Kim Jong-un on the back?
What, like a piggyback?
Yeah.
I'll go for that.
Well, that's a fair point. We're going to have a break in a second. Before we have a break, here is a message from Charlie Baker.
Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, Torquay fan and National League football enthusiast. And I hope you'll join me and some very funny friends for the Football's On Vanarama National League special on Tuesday, November the 8th. Following the BT Sport match between the Shrimpers Southend and league leaders free scoring Notts County. We'll be covering all things National League. We'll be putting the talking in Dorking, the jester in Chesterfield, and I'm sure Scunthorpe will come up at some point too. That's the Football's On, a National League special with me, Charlie Baker, on Tuesday, November the 8th on BT Sport. Hope to see you there.
Thank you, Charlie. And yes, we hope you watch it. When we return, we'll be asking whether Anthony at Manchester United is just a bit too flash for his own good. And we'll be doing our very own Football's On World Cup preview. See you in a bit.
T Join Ellis James and pals down the clubhouse for a light-hearted and entertaining journey through the history of sports forgotten, rarely seen, iconic and hotly debated moments. All episodes available now on the BT Sport app.
Welcome back to the football show that, unlike Antonio Conte's Tottenham, is on the front foot right from the off. Mark Steele, Mark Simmons and me, Ian Stone. Now, one of the big talking points last week was Manchester United's Antony. Certain commentators, including BT Sport's very own Robbie Savage, were not that impressed, particularly as he passed the ball straight out of play, although the TikTok view numbers were probably very impressive. Mark Simmons, as a comedian, surely you approve of pointless showboating?
Yeah, I think it's all right. I reckon he just misunderstood when his manager told him to run rings around them.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. I mean, personally, I didn't mind. My first thought when I saw it was, is that it? But it does seem like a bit of a generational thing. Mark Steele, is this where we're headed? Pointless bits of showing off in an average team? You're a Palace fan. You surely can appreciate that.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Well, all right then. Now, this is true. One of my favourite ever Palace moments was... It was a night when Palace beat Arsenal 3-0. Not the recent time, but the time before that.
Don't remember that.
Arsenal were very, very bad on that night.
And Sam Allardyce was your manager.
Yes, I think he was. And just in front of where I sit with Elliot Steele, who is not a stranger to this show. So Wilf Zaha got the ball. It was 3-0. There was about 2-3 minutes to go. And now you'll correct me, actually. I think it was Ozil and Mertesacker. Would that be right? That were just defending, and they were just in front of Wilf. And he did some little trick, some sort of funny little thing. I don't know what he did. And he got the ball through the middle of them and ran round them. And everybody cheered, as you can imagine, on the Palace side. And then he put his foot on the ball and waited for him to come back again and then did it again. And where he could have crossed it and maybe or maybe not, that clearly was not, you know, from a football point of view, that clearly wasn't the right thing to do. But it was such a brilliant memory. And it was just, and everybody started singing Every Little Thing's Gonna Be All Right. And I remember thinking, this is brilliant fun. And that's... that was one of my great... And I think most people, you sort of think, oh, I remember when George Best did this, or people remember when Thierry Henry did that. And that's class, isn't it? Or when a boxer, when a boxer does something really outrageous, or when Bolt slowed down, in effect, in the 100 metres in Beijing or London, or did it in both, when he was so far ahead, he could start doing that before he crossed the line. That's exhilarating. I'm all for it. And that's the first positive thing I've ever said about anyone playing for Manchester United.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, my main feeling is, can't people have a bit of fun in the high-stress environment at this top-level professional football? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't do that on Hackney Marshes on a Sunday morning. One, because no one who plays on Hackney Marshes can do that without falling over. And also because he'd probably be assaulted and possibly chased across the pitches by someone on a motorbike. Exhibit B in this particular bit of this show is this monstrosity from Tottenham's Emerson Royale. That is the no-look pass, perfected by such giants of the game as Ronaldinho and Thierry Henry, now being attempted by Tottenham's right-back. And as a Tottenham fan of my acquaintance said, one wonders, had he been looking, would it have been any different? Mark Steele, it's misdirection, isn't it? And it couldn't have been more misdirected. I mean, as comics, we're all about misdirection. Essentially, all our jokes are sort of no-look jokes.
I suppose so, but that's what would be the equivalent of that. You know, you do the setup and then forget the punchline. That's the thing. But that's brilliant. It makes me wonder whether they're all looking for all these new things, aren't they, to spread the game more around the world more and so on. And maybe if you had like one, each team was allowed to pick one of the fans to play for your side. You go through and you just go, yeah, right, you're going to be on their side. And so wouldn't that help? I think that would help get people into the game who don't normally watch it. And they have to, you can't just pass round them. They have to touch the ball from time to time or be in goal maybe. And you do stuff like that all the time. And then I think that would boost the figures, wouldn't it?
I think it's a great idea. I just love it. I think they should do it as a lottery 5 minutes before the game starts. And then they find the person on the camera. And I can imagine some bloke going, I've just finished my pie. Anyway, it is our last show before the World Cup starts. We thought we'd look forward to the greatest show on earth. Now, obviously, as a Gooner, I don't want the Premier League season to stop for a ridiculous tournament in a place whose entire football history is yet to be written. Mark Simmons, reports suggest that a villa in Qatar for the entirety of the tournament costs in the region of £300,000. I mean, it's good to see football being given back to the real fans, isn't it?
Well, luckily, we support England, so we're not going to need it for the entirety of the tournament. How much is it for a long weekend?
I think it's the same rate, actually. I think it's an Airbnb thing. I don't think they've changed it. I actually don't know. I mean, it's probably about 20 or 30 grand for 3 or 4 days. It's really out of the reach of most people. Mark Steele, £300,000 for the month. I mean, those fans could have put on a show at the Edinburgh Festival and saved themselves a couple of quid.
Yeah, I mean, £5,000 better off. I don't know. It's just everything about it is so, it's almost so hilariously rotten, isn't it? That you're having the football, world football tournament in the country that is the least suitable place for football in the world. It makes more sense to have it in the sea. And the winner for the World Cup is going to 2022 is going to be held in the North Sea. That would, and there were like goals bobbling about. And players, and you can't handle it, so it's not water polo.
Do the toss up, we'll have the shallow end.
Yeah, please. It's just so mad. And the winner's probably going to be like whichever team has one player that can still stand up after 20 minutes because they haven't just flaked out and they just sort of just about managed to touch it out the centre circle and go, oh, sod it, call that a goal. We've won.
Yeah. I mean, we could try and solve our centre-back conundrum. If I said Dyer and Maguire, would you agree with that? Also, would that sentence work better without the and?
Dyer, Maguire. Well, to be honest, Maguire got praised for his performance at the weekend, which obviously frustrating for me, being that West Ham were the team that made him look good.
Yeah.
But Ten Hag's, like, his system of sort of, if you don't play well, you're not playing, seems to be working. But England wouldn't be able to do that because just England wouldn't play.
We'd only have a five-a-side. I mean, mind you, we have got 17 fit right-backs. How do we choose between them?
It's a lot. It's so many players. I mean, there's so many that there's a good chance that two of them could be called Kyle Walker, which is mad. You can't have two players on a team with the same name. That would be like booking two Marks for this show.
That's true. That is true. Mark Steele. The Premier League season stops on the weekend of the 12th, 13th of November, and the tournament starts on the 20th. I mean, that leaves us a week for the build-up. That is not enough time to get your sticker collection sorted and get your flag for the car.
No, it absolutely isn't. There's meant to be about 6 weeks of increasingly frenetic, completely unfounded, absurd, irrational optimism that where people build themselves up into a point of England, they're going to, it starts with England. Well, England have got a chance. England have got quite a good chance. And then you have a friendly against Winchester and win 2-0. They're absolute, they're on fire. And by the time they go out there, I don't know why they're even bothering to have the tournament. It's rightfully ours. England are going to win. And then you draw the first game 1-1 against Western Malta. And then that's the whole point of a World Cup. And you're quite right in. There's just not enough time for all of that.
Well, we all agree it is ridiculous. England have apparently announced a 55-man squad. Mark Simmons, that seems a lot of players. Only just missed out on a place, apparently.
Yeah. I know how you feel. It's this time last week, I was almost transport minister.
Hey, give it a week. You'll probably have your chance.
That's way too many players, isn't it? It's like whittling down a massive tree trunk into a toothpick.
It is.
Basically, what I'm saying is we're going into battle with a toothpick.
Yeah, I believe that. It might be the case. The opening game is Qatar against Ecuador. That is one to get the juices flowing. Personally, I wouldn't be able to name a single player from either side. Mark Simmons, we're more likely to know the name of the referee.
I actually think Ecuador sounds more, well, it's, I actually think Ecuador sounds less like a country and more like an individual Brazilian player who would probably still be a full Qatar team.
Yes, and I think it would be a fair fight, to be honest with you. The day after that, it is Iran against England at 1 p.m. Not an ideal kickoff time for most people, although for stay-at-home mums and dads, homeschoolers and comedians, it's perfect. Mark Steele, are you one of those people who, if you're watching a series and you take a break for a couple of weeks, you need a catch-up on what's happened before? I mean, when we get back to the domestic football again, do we need a previously in the Premier League montage?
No, it will do. I don't know how it's going to affect people. It clearly will do. It's clearly, the whole thing is mad. It is a bit like the government in that, like, this isn't how it's meant to work. You know, there are rules for how a World Cup's going to be. What, I don't know why the, what will they do for the, for the next one, have it underwater. I don't know. They'll make it because it's been reduced, hasn't it? Like the length of it, this one. They'll reduce it to one day, and all the games are played at the same time. There's just a massive, huge, massive field in Tanzania, and all the games are played at once.
I like that you're going for a more nautical theme, generally, whether it's on the sea or under the sea. That's space. Quite good.
The 2026 World Cup has been given to space because we believe that we can increase the number of people who've got subscriptions in space, which at the moment is a pitiful number of just a couple of people who live on a space station. And it's all right because we're going to build a gravity machine so the ball just doesn't go keep flying out of the stadium all the time.
Not another ball. God, it's cost us a fortune.
No. Oh, the first one's almost at Venus. It's just so mad. And so ridiculous. We have to sort of try and bury all of those. A bit like when you're watching a film or something and things happen in it that are so ridiculous. You know, you suspend your disbelief, as they say. And yeah. I think it's going to have to be like that with this World Cup. We're going to have to try and just think, no, forget all the madness. This is still a World Cup. And I don't know, who knows, Qatar, Ecuador could end up being the final, couldn't it?
No. I doubt it. I mean, I think the main
it's
thing...
It's so hot when... they've allowed each team to have 3 camels in the side.
I mean, I think the main thing about when the Premier League comes back... Erling Haaland would have had a rest, and he has been looking a bit tired the last few weeks. So I think that's for the best. Let's have a quick game of Who Am I? I give out 3 clues, and our guests have to guess who I'm talking about. I'm currently the manager of the club where I won consecutive league titles in 2000 and 2001. In 2005, I scored 2 goals in the semi-final of the FA Cup, going on to lose on penalties in the final, and I signed for Real Madrid in 2006. And I won La Liga in my first season and finished the campaign as the league's top goal scorer. Who am I? Mark Simmons. Any thoughts as to who that might be?
I feel like this is an easy one as well. Mark Steele looks confident.
It does he? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go with Mark Steele and then we'll see if he knows. What you got, Mark?
Oh, no, I don't know. It's obviously because Manchester United won the league here, didn't they? The Premier League here in those years. So it's clearly the answer is not him, is it?
Well, look, I'll give you some extra clues. I won the Premier League Golden Boot in 2003 and I was named as Dutch Player of the Year in 99 and 2000. Mark Simmons, any thoughts with that one as well? You're a big fan of Dutch Players of the Year.
Big fan. I don't know.
No? Mark Steele, any clues?
No, and this is terrible because I do feel it should be...
You'll know him. You'll kick yourself.
Van Persie, Bullet, I don't know.
Close, but no. I was going to say you'll kick yourself.
Van Nistelrooy.
It is Ruud van Nistelrooy. Right. It is. Right. Losing the semi-final of the FA Cup in 2005. Okay. Winning the semi-final, but losing the final on penalties. When Man United dominated Arsenal for 100 and whatever it was minutes. 120 minutes with extra time, and then we nicked it on penalties. Really one of the funniest things I've ever seen. As Mark Steele is here, let's talk a bit of Palace. Mark, it always seems like the right club for you. I just can't imagine you, closely affiliated as you have been with the Labour Party, also not that successful in recent years, lording it over other fans. I mean, one could say that, like the Labour Party, Palace had pounced back, started the season well, and seemed to be thriving under new management.
Hey, well, yeah. No, I feel it's the perfect club. But then you always think you know, your club is the perfect club. I don't think I would be very happy supporting Paris Saint-Germain. Really, I think that would be a bit strange. This is the glory years. I mean, Palace really, and there's so many bigger clubs than Palace that are way down the league. You know, West Brom and Birmingham and clubs like that are bigger.
You're
clubs.
You're an established Premier League team, aren't you?
Yeah. This is 10 years now, and it's staggering. And I sort of, and then you draw with, if you draw with Newcastle or something, then people sort of, some of the fans are going, oh, we need someone else in midfield and all that. And I think, all right, get this in perspective.
Yes.
You know, yes. For most of the time I've supported, almost all my life, you know, up until 10 years ago, Palace were pretty much in the middle or the lower half of the second division. So at that point, 10 years in the Premier League with sort of is so enormous. But you know, that is the point about supporting a football team, isn't it? That the pleasure you get is the gap between the expectations and the reality. So I would imagine if you support Northwich Victoria and you think, oh, we're probably going to get relegated to whatever league, you know, the Roundtree Fruit Pastel Conference or whatever is below the league they're in, you don't and you come fourth, you're probably just as joyful as you are if you support, say, West Ham and you come and you get to the Europa final or something.
Of course, of course. I absolutely agree. 10 years in the Premier League was, of course, the less successful follow-up to 10 years as a slave. yeah. Did quite as well at the box office. Mark Simmons, a lot of comics are Palace fans, interestingly enough. I know you're a West Ham fan, but do you think that yo-yoing between triumph and disaster suits our temperament?
What, like an up-and-down temperament?
Yes. It's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess we do have an up and down temper, and it's so annoying. That wasn't funny. I only know there's Mark Steele, Elliot Steele. What's the chance for that?
It's just the Steele family is what I'm talking about. It's Joe Brand.
Are there any others?
Joe Brand is very much a Palace fan. Kevin Dunn is very much a Palace fan.
Yeah, there's quite a few. It's quite a few. We lost Sean Hughes a few
years
ago.
My granddad was a Palace fan, so I could have been one.
So what happened with West Ham then?
What? Why am I a West? Well, yeah, it's a similar vibe, isn't it? Really,
it is actually. It's a similar vibe, but slightly higher up, isn't it? West Ham.
Yeah, but not probably not. I don't know. Where were Palace when I was in early 90s?
They were in the Round Trees Fruit Pastel.
No,
movie.
Palace were doing. Palace were good in the early 90s. So we had a couple of attempts at the Premier League and didn't quite survive each time. But sort of and got to the FA Cup final and were 8
They did get the FA Cup final in 1990. That's all. Right. Yes, in 1991, wasn't it? Actually,
had 3 years, in fact, in the first division at that point, and with Ian Wright. You know, that was sort of, you know, before he went over to your way. So, yeah, they weren't a bad side. But, you know, there is something very wholesome about, you know, I get very upset. If I sort of, you know, I obviously travel around like we all do. If you go to Plymouth and you see sort of kids walking around in a Plymouth shirt, I think there's something very brilliant about that. If they're all wandering around in Manchester City shirts, that is very, very dispiriting, because there is, it does say something about you as a person that you think that you're somehow a little bit better than the other person because you've latched onto the, you might as well go, oh yeah, you know, we all support numbers in this school and he only supports 7, but I'm better than him because I support 23, which is a bigger number. It's just pointless, you know, I just go support a team because they're the richest.
Support your local team, absolutely right. Now, does anyone know who the world's longest serving manager is? Well, I'll tell you, it's Brent Peters, great name, great guy, who spent 25 years in charge of backup Borough who play in the North West Counties Division 1 North. Mark Simmons, surely all the North West Counties teams would be in the North. It feels like an unnecessary North, wouldn't you say?
I've actually got a fun fact for you. North West Counties Division 1 North is actually Kanye's daughter's first full name.
I mean, I do love this Brent Peters guy. He does everything for the club, including cleaning the dressing room, taking the rubbish out and washing the kit. I mean, no wonder he's still there, Mark. Still, they have to employ five people just to replace him.
Yeah. I don't. But it'd be brilliant. It'd be just brilliant if someone like if Messi went there just for his final season, and then was dropped because he made such a mess of cleaning the kit. It was still wet. He forgot to dry it. He didn't put it on the put it on the spin cycle.
He'll catch his death in that, Lionel. Sit on the bench. See how you like
say
it.
Say it again. No, it's the Northwest Counties.
Northwest Counties, North. Hang on a minute. I'll have to go back.
Is there three Norths in there?
There's no. The Northwest Counties. Sorry, I'm going to go back. The Northwest Counties Division 1 North. Two North.
Northwest Counties Division 1 North.
Yeah, North.
There's one. Yeah. You know, there's a brilliant one that I found out, and I'm not going to do it justice. It's actually more brilliant than this. But it's something like the Ian Hart Worthing and District and Outer West Sussex Funeral Directors League.
Oh,
it's
my
actually
goodness.
Even better than that, but it definitely ends Funeral Directors League.
The Ian Hart Funeral Service Worthing and District Football League.
The Ian right. Hart Funeral Service
Worthing and District.
Funeral
Ian
Services
Hart.
Worthing and District League.
Outstanding.
Brilliant. And I wonder if that's got a North and a South as well.
Ian Hart, the ex-Leeds footballer, who obviously had a bereavement or something. I don't know.
It could
I'm
be.
Laughing.
Or Ian Hart,
it's not
the
funny.
Famous actor who was in Harry Potter, amongst other things. It could be him.
There are... Yeah, or possibly a different Ian Hart.
Or possibly a different Hart who's just, yeah, we've been 150 years in the family. We've been burying the people of the Worthing area. And we thought we might as well branch out into a funeral services Worthing and District League.
How many teams are there in that league? Just out of interest.
Well, that I don't know. I've exhausted the knowledge of this particular league. I don't know.
Well,
wouldn't it be brilliant if people started going and that and sort of, I don't know, North East Worthing started getting 25,000 for their match against Rustington.
We can make that happen. We can. Now, Brent Peters, we're talking about this long-serving manager who joined the club in 1997. Which seems like a long time ago. I guess it is. It's the year of Tony Blair and Britpop, neither of which lasted even close to that length of time. His previous claim to fame was when he was assistant manager to Kerry Dixon at Doncaster Rovers, and also that he got Champions League winner David May to play for his team. I have to say that the phrase claim to fame is doing a lot of heavy lifting in those two facts. Mark Simmons, your team, West Ham, are the kings of long-serving managers. From 1902 to 1974, they had four managers. Sid King until 1932, Charlie Painter until 1950, Ted Fenton up to 61, and Ron Greenwood till 74. For comparison, we've had three prime ministers in the last 8 weeks. Or to put it another way, they've had four managers from before Powered Flight up until ABBA won Eurovision. Mark, David Moyes could well be the manager until you get free train travel.
I mean, that's going to be quite a while. He's going to have to come up with, I don't know, find some sort of miracle anti-aging thing, which clearly he hasn't yet.
No, I think that's right. Some sort of portrait in his attic or something. Mark Steele, that sort of manager longevity will never happen again, will it? One can't imagine Pep Guardiola prowling up and down the touchline for Man City wearing fashionable jeans into his 70s, can we?
Well, probably not. No, but it's true, isn't it? This used to happen when I was a kid, and I want to sound like an old man, but I do sound like an old man. You sort of learn all the managers, you know, Bertie Mee and Bill Nicholson and people like
that's
that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And they were the managers. It was like learning the capital of a country or something. and occasionally the capital of a country changes because it's been invaded by someone, but usually that is it, and then it's quite a shock when Harry Catterick is no longer manager of Everton, probably because he died, didn't he? I mean, people, it was like a royal family. Unless you died, you couldn't be removed, you know, even if you took the team from the European Cup to the Ian Hart Funeral Services Worthing District League. Yeah, but we can't sack him.
He's the manager. Now it's time for Call Yourself a Fan, the quiz where we test our panellists on their own club and also what's been happening in the Premier League. Mark Steele always gets a bit worried about this, and for a reason as well. There he is.
Oh, no.
Look at that. Yeah, but Mark, you can jump to the top today.
I can if I can answer questions that are impossible. Yeah. How many blades of grass are there in the Ian Hart Funeral Services Worthing District League?
Well, have you been reading my questions? Anyway, but look, football has a way of surprising people. Let's see how you get on. Okay, Mark, how many times have Crystal Palace won the Second Division Championship? Is it 1, 2, or 3?
2.
It is. There we are, off and running. You've equaled your score for all the other previous goes. They've won the playoffs a record 4 times, but they've won the championship twice. Question 2. Which of these former Palace managers won the most games during their reign? Was it Roy Hodgson, Ian Dowie, or Neil Warnock?
Must have been Hodgson because he was there
it was.
Much longer.
It was. He won 54 games in his 4 seasons. At Palace, 2 out of 2, flying. Who has made the most clearances for Crystal Palace so far this season? Is it Joachim Andersen, Mark Gay, or Tyrick Mitchell?
Okay, I'm going to take a Andersen tends to sort of wait a moment and then make a big long pass. Mitchell's a left back, so more likely to run with it. So I'd say it's Mark Gay.
I like your logic, but wrong. It was Joachim Andersen. He has made the most clearances, not only for Palace, but the most in the league. 85 in 11 appearances.
Oh, I should have known
2 out of 3 going into the weekend's games. Who scored Chelsea's consolation goal at the Amex in their 4-1 loss to Brighton? Was it Raheem Sterling, Kai Havertz, or Mason Mount?
Middle one.
It was Kai Havertz, yes, the middle one. His header at the start of the second half gave his side some hope that they might get back into the game, but they didn't. And question 5. Diego Costa was sent off for a headbutt on Brentford's Ben Mee on Saturday. How many Premier League red cards did Costa get during his time at Chelsea? Was it 4, 2, or 0?
Right, 0 would have to be a trick question, wouldn't it? It can't have been 0. 4's, you'd think it was 4, but that's 2. It's 2.
It was 0.
No! Yes. What sort of corruption is there when Diego Costa didn't get any red cards?
He was
How
never
has
sent off
that
Chelsea?
Been allowed to pass by? What Far East betting syndicate's involved in that?
Well, he was sent off. He was never sent off for Chelsea in the league. He was sent off once in the FA Cup. But yes, still, Mark, a respectable 3 okay. out of 5. That rockets you to comfortable mid-table-ness. very Palace position, I believe, actually. Nice. Mark Simmons will step into the hot seat. There's just time to tell you about a special live version of the Football Zone during the World Cup. It's on the 28th of November in London. For more information, visit the TFO page on the BT Sport website. Now it's Mark Simmons' turn to play Call Yourself a Fan. 5 questions, 3 related to West Ham and 2 on this week's action. Are you ready, Mr. Simmons?
Yeah.
Okay, which of these former West Ham managers had the best win percentage during their tenure? I mean, we picked Avram Grant, Slaven Bilic, or Alan Pardew. I wish we'd gone for Charlie Painter and the other old ones. But anyway, Avram Grant, Slaven Bilic, or Alan Pardew. Who had the best win percentage?
Bilic.
No, it was, would you believe, Alan Pardew. His win percentage of 41.1 over 3 years is pretty impressive. And he took the Hammers to an FA Cup final. But also he danced in a way that we'll never forget and really can't watch or can't unsee. Naught out of one, Mark Simmons. Who scored West Ham's first league goal this season? Was it Pablo Fornals, Jared Bowen, or Declan Rice?
Bowen?
It was Pablo Fornals. 74th minute winner away at Aston Villa was the team's first goal of the Premier League campaign, having failed to score in their first three games. Mark Simmons is really taking on the Mark Steele role at the moment. Question three. Who has received the most yellow cards for West Ham so far this season? Is it Tilo Kehrer, Aaron Cresswell, or Vladimir Kufal?
Kufal.
No, it's Kehrer, mate. Kehrer has received four yellow cards in 11 games. All right, let's see if you watch the match of the day this week. Which Arsenal player came off the bench to score twice in their thrashing of Nottingham Forest at the Emirates on Sunday? Was it Fabio Vieira, Eddie Nketiah, or Rhys Nelson? He has no idea, does he? What are you saying?
Hang on, say him again.
Fabio Vieira, Eddie Nketiah, or Rhys Nelson?
The last one.
Say his name and I'll give you the point.
What, say him again?
Number three. Rhys Nelson. You were right. It was Rhys Nelson, a surprising substitute. Although two people out there, apparently in the world, made Rhys Nelson the captain of their fantasy team. So well done them. And Rhys Nelson apparently wants to invite them to the game next week.
Oh, wow.
One out of four. Which Liverpool player's poor back pass gave Rodrigo an open goal to put the away side 1-0 up on Saturday night? Was it Virgil van Dijk, Joel Matip, or Joe Gomez?
Gomez.
It was Joe Gomez. The dubious goals panel will be giving Joe Gomez the assist for the opening goal at Anfield, whether he likes it or not. Mark Simmons scored 2 out of 5. He scraped a couple of consolations. Mark Steele has rocketed up the table there. Mark Simmons stays in the same place because he somehow got whatever it was. Well, how many did you get? Four, Adam.
Yeah,
sorry.
Four.
Yes, Mark Simmons stays in the same place because he somehow got four a few weeks ago.
Oh, they don't get added on?
No, they don't get added on because not everyone does the same number of shows.
Isn't it an average then? Well, you just have whatever the last one was.
Yes, essentially.
So if the Premier League like that worked like that, whoever won on the last day of the season would win the league.
Arsenal would be top. Oh, hang on, they are. And by the way, Mark Steele, if you want that, you'd only have two right now instead of three. So, you know, I think you should be happy.
Yeah, all right, I know. I'm not going to let it ruin me day.
No, there's no need. That is it for this edition and indeed this series of The Football's On. As Charlie Baker said, there's a special National League version going out next Tuesday night. We'll be back in the new year. Thanks to Mark Simmons and Mark Steele. I'm Ian Stone and hopefully see you at the live show on the 28th.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.